Living on purpose. Living on purpose means that we have decided that something is so very important to us that we're going to be intentional about going after it. That's what this series is all about, being intentional about going after something. And in particular, we've been talking about that as a follower of Christ, one of the things that we need to be intentional about going after is being a better disciple, growing in our discipleship, growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. But when it comes to becoming a better disciple, it doesn't just happen. There are no shortcuts. It takes work. It takes intentionality. And so we want to encourage you in that. And we are highlighting four ways that you and I should be living on purpose, not just kind of going through life. First of all, we said that we should be pursuing spiritual maturity on purpose in review, that we should be growing our faith. You should be growing your faith on purpose. We mentioned a few ways that you could do that. You could do that by pursuing the Bible on purpose. And if you have a desire to grow and understand your Bible more, certainly you can be reading it, but you should be studying it. And maybe something like how to know God's will has been an intriguing topic in your life, or maybe it's something you struggle with and you want to pursue it as it's taught in the Bible. Guess what? Come to the Bible Studies for Life for 6 weeks, and you'll be in the Bible and be able to learn about it, and you'll be actually doing it on purpose. Be intentional. Get up and come. That was out one without a breath. We said we should be pursuing prayer on purpose to pursue spiritual maturity. Pursue church on purpose. Thank you again for being intentional and being here. And then pursuing life change on purpose in order to grow our faith. Last week, second way, we talked about how to live on purpose. We need to connect with other believers on purpose. Support your faith. It's not just about growing your faith, but supporting your faith. We're not meant to live the Christian life alone. We need support. We need help. We need each other. We talked very specifically about the importance of getting to level 3 when it comes to connecting. 3 levels of connecting: superficial, then social, then spiritual. And we need to be making our way to have at least a few people in our life, at least one person in our life that is on that spiritual level of connecting. And it's much more, there are many more people in the superficial level, then it gets less and less as you move down, but that's really important. The importance of level 3 connecting spiritually. You say, well, how can I do that, Pastor? How can I maybe develop that? Join a community group. We talked a lot about that in our last community group we had based on this message. You could also be a part of SoulCon. SoulCon's level 3, if you let it, the men's ministry. And then it could happen if you take the opportunity. You could move from superficial to social to spiritual in one night. At devoted. Because you could be at a table with somebody and superficially not know them and say hello to them and say hi, and then you have a meal with them, now you've gone to social, and then you take the opportunity to pray with each other or pray for each other, and not everybody has to pray, don't worry about that, but you may talk about a few spiritual things. You just went to the third level all in one night. I guarantee it. And you might even have a spiritual conversation with that person afterwards or sometime down the road because you came to that thing on October 20th called Devoted. And so if you want to do that, that'd be great. So let's move to the third way that we can live on purpose. We need to serve on purpose. Serve on purpose. Another way to say that is we need to serve others unselfishly. You need to practice your faith. I need to practice my faith. Here's what I'm thinking. When you pursue spiritual maturity, you're helping yourself grow, which is great. You're feeding yourself. You're kind of feeding your spiritual soul. Your spiritual maturity is being fed. And then when it comes to connecting, you're getting someone alongside of you who's helping you in that process of growing. You with me? So you're growing your faith, and then you have support in that. But here's the problem. If you stop there, you will become a stagnant, even moldy Christian. Because you're meant to squeeze out your faith a little bit. And to exercise your faith or to practice your faith is not just about feeding, not just about eating, not just about growing, not even just about supporting, but we need to practice our faith as well. We need to be serving in order to have a well-balanced spiritual maturity, spiritual experience. A better disciple of Christ serves. That's just the bottom line. And so when it comes to being an intentional follower of Christ, serving is imperative. And I want to, before we get into this, I want to say this right up front. We have a lot of people in our church who serve. And on behalf of the pastoral staff, thank you. Thank you for serving. We appreciate your ministry. Some of it we know about, others is behind the scenes and we don't know about. So thank you for serving our church in so many ways. And I try to illustrate that at times, and over the years I've done it different ways. I decided not to do it this way today because we've done it before where what I've done in the past is sometimes just like release the babies into the room. And like, and then they just go crazy in here, like, what's going on? Well, the nursery workers quit. I've done it in the past where the slide people and the sound people just turn their back and walk out. And you're like, nobody's advancing the slides. She quit. Not going to serve anymore. See what I'm talking about here? And so thank you for doing that. And I realize that you can and you often should serve in other ways outside of the church and other places. I get it. But what we're talking about today is serving right here. Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS. That's what we're talking about today. I'm not discounting those other things, but I'm talking about serving here at our church and making that a priority. And I think that a theology of serving is very important. Is it biblical to talk about serving? I think so. There's a theology of serving that we need to respond to. But it's not just the theology of serving. There's also a practicality when it comes to serving. There really is a practicality when it comes to us serving together in the church, and in particular, our church. Because here's the practicality of it. In order for our church to function or operate efficiently and effectively, we need people to be engaged in serving. We really do. Now, I know it may not be a big deal to you that the projector's working, but it is a big deal because we put all our music, we put all our sermon stuff on there, and we could work around it, but it's better if we have that. And I know we have this thing here. I know. I see it there. But I want you to know that leading up to that this morning, because we found out this morning during worship practice, Vince made the mistake of walking through the double glass doors early today because he's always early. I said, Vince, you need to find somebody and get the big ladder. And there's this huge ladder. So he went and grabbed somebody else, and a bunch of guys came, and they were serving. And then I said, it's not in my job description to serve by going up on a ladder. It's just not. I know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but Satan has as it relates to heights for me. So people came in and they were serving. And you're like, what does that have to do with the message? It has everything to do with it because I know there's a cord here right now, but this is a lot more effective having it up here in front of you for you to see. And it's because some people stepped up and said, I will. I mean, Vince could have said, I'm not doing that. Get the ladder yourself. He could have. He would not have. Because he's in my community group and we would have kicked him off the island. Right? And the other people came in, right? I mean, and Dave, my buddy Dave, he's tall already, but he couldn't quite reach it, but he got up on the ladder, and I found out that he really doesn't like heights. And I asked him to go a little bit higher, and he did. You're like, much more effective and efficient as people serve. It's really important. There's a practicality to this. And biblical serving, listen to me, biblical serving is not about a few people doing everything or every person doing the same thing, but rather it's everyone equipped, empowered, and expected by God to do something. Not everything, not the same thing, but something. If you're like, is he talking to me? Yes. Is God talking to you? Mm-hmm. So let me give you a definition of biblical serving to start with. You don't have to write it down. I left it complete in there because I didn't want to frustrate you with a lot of blanks on this one. Here's a definition of biblical serving. Just look at it and think about it as I read it. Biblical serving is investing in God's church, God's people, and God's plan, and is an obedient response to Jesus' call to servanthood with God's glory, the ultimate goal. So when you serve, you're investing in God's church, God's people, and God's plan, and you're being obedient to Jesus' call to be a servant, all for the glory of God. Not ourselves, not our reputation, not to make us feel good, not to make us look good, but for God's glory. So I invite you unashamedly, with encouragement and excitement, come serve with us. Come serve God's church, God's plan, and God's people for God's glory. I get fired up about serving. It's awesome. Pastor Alistair Begg put it this way. It is impossible to serve God without serving each other. It's impossible to serve God without serving each other. I took that quote one step further. You may not like the where I took it, but here it goes. I think it's really impossible to serve God without serving each other. I think it's impossible to serve God without serving each other and without serving his church. That's the next step I took it to. It's impossible to serve God without serving his church. Because the church is pretty important to God. So, the point is, there's a theology behind serving. So why should we serve? Let me take you to a few passages. I invite you to take your Bibles with me, and you can use the Pew Bible. Mark chapter 10, if you would. Let's talk for a few moments about why we should be serving. Why we should be serving. Mark chapter 10. Page 708, it's listed there in your insert. Here's the context of these verses, or these words from Jesus. At least in Mark chapter 10, we find that two of his disciples, James and John, asked Jesus a question. You ready for the question? I mean, some of you, you could ask Jesus any question. I'm not sure you would ask this question, but they felt like they could. James and John asked Jesus this question. When it's all said and done, and we're in glory, we're in your kingdom, can I sit on one side of you, and can he sit on the other? Wow. Wow. And so Jesus responds with several things, but he says this in verse 43. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's the first reason why we should serve. Christ expects his followers to serve. That's the theology of serving. Christ expects his followers to serve. Christ modeled serving and expects serving in the church he died for. He expects it. As a matter of fact, I firmly believe that Christ would be puzzled if he visited one of his churches and encountered his followers not serving. I think that would puzzle him because he modeled that. I found this quote that was interesting about the idea of Jesus expecting us to serve. It says this: Jesus chose to advance his work primarily on the shoulders of ordinary people who live in the real world of family and business and community. Guess who that is? Oh, I know you don't like it to personalize it that way, but it is you and it is me. Jesus chose to advance his work on the shoulders of you and me, ordinary people out in the world, working our jobs, doing our stuff, retired, whatever it may be. This is what Jesus has said: I'm going to advance my kingdom. I'm going to advance my church work on your shoulders. He expects that. I want you to go to another passage with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Why we should serve? Jesus expects it. Ephesians 4 gives us another reason why we should serve. 815, if you'd like to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is giving some insight as it relates to ministry and leaders and the church even, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to do all the work of the ministry. Oh, is that, that's not in your Bible? Okay, thanks. All right, good. I was going to say if it was, we need to talk about your translation. Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the people, his people, for the works of ministry so that the body of Christ might be built up. Who are the people in the body of Christ? Let's try it again. Who is that? Okay, I'm so sorry. We got it again. Here's the second reason why we should serve. The church is designed by God to operate as a team. We should be serving as a team. I call it this. We should be serving with, not activating a search watch program. You know, like neighborhood watch? Some of you are on the search watch team. What you do is just watch people serve. Ooh, whoa. I got your back. I'm watching you. Oh, good job. That's not biblical. The team is we serve with. We don't watch them. It's not the serve watch. It's the serve with. And when you think about teamwork, think about it this way. When it comes to athletics, let's just say like a football game, since we're in football season. There are basically three areas that people could be involved in, basically. Number one, you have the spectators in the stands. That's one area. Then you have the sidelines. Then you have the field. Okay? I mean, it's basically it. Now, when it comes to the church, getting on the field and being actively involved is really important. And I do think there will be some people on the sidelines in this way, some people that are ready to step in, give somebody a hand, or they're getting trained and getting ready to learn the plays, and then they go in. That's awesome. But listen, when it comes to the church and followers of Christ, the stands should be empty. We cheer each other on from the sidelines and from the field. And God is the one in the announcer booth going, "Way to go." He's not trying to rev up the crowd because he doesn't want anybody in the crowd. He wants everybody that's one of his followers either on the sidelines learning the plays or actually on the field. Because, you know, on any given Sunday, there are thousands of people in desperate need of exercise and good diet cheering on people who are killing themselves. And in the church, you can have way too few people almost burning themselves out while the rest of us are watching. We're designed to be as a team. Aren't you so glad? I can tell. Some of you say, I've never been on a team in my life. Well, good for you. If you are a follower of Christ, you're on a team called the body of Christ. Turn to me another passage, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Another reason why we should be serving. God expects it. We're part of a team. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 802 in your pew Bible. I want to spend most of our time this morning talking about the theology of serving because I want God's word through God's spirit to kind of be convicting us about whether we're serving or not, and it's a biblical thing. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 is about the importance and the relevance of resurrection, not just Jesus' resurrection, but the fact if Jesus resurrected, then we will resurrect, and there is a next life. You're thankful for that? So the resurrection's real. It impacts us. And because of that, it says in verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Amen. Your serving is not in vain. Your service to God makes a difference. Here's the third reason why you should be serving. Serving impacts people now and in the future. If you're serving in a ministry, let's say to children, let's say it's like Awana, and they're learning scripture or they're coming to faith in Christ or they're getting baptized, is that making a difference? Is that impacting a life? Does it make a difference if someone works in the nursery? That should have been a little bit more, you know, robust, because it may not necessarily directly impact the six-month-old, but the mom who brought the six-month-old, who's able to sit under the Word of God and worship for the first time with other believers all week long in intelligent adult conversation, is being impacted. You know what I'm saying? It impacts both now and in the future. You will impact people by serving both now and the future. And you won't always know what's happening or that it happened. I love this illustration about serving impacting people now and in the future. This is a true story. Many, many years ago, a humble pastor served in a little country church town. It says his ministry was quiet and very few people came to Christ. Year in and year out, the work became more and more discouraging. And so this guy, as he was there longer and longer, was getting more discouraged. But it was only years later that he found out that one of the young people, one of the souls that came to Christ in his church, didn't know it back then, but now he did. One of the people that came to faith in his church was Charles Spurgeon. If you know anything about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you know the impact he had on so many people coming to faith in Christ. So did it matter if this guy faithfully served God in this little country church? Absolutely. Does it matter if you serve? Yes. Will you always know how it's going to work out? No. But God will take care of that. But here's another thing about impacting in the future. You need to do a study sometime on your own on the theology of rewards. Do you know there are rewards in heaven? And some of them are directly related to serving. There'll be crowns for serving. Now, there's different ways you can get your crowns or lose your crowns, but the idea is there are crowns in heaven that you can earn by serving. You're like, well, I don't want to take the chance. Okay, you can do that. Here's another reason why we should serve. Serving keeps you connected to the church. This is a very practical way to reason why people should serve. It may sound self-serving in and of itself, but it's really not. I have found if people serve in a church, they tend to stay more connected and they stay longer. It's easier to walk away from a church or even walk away from attending church if you don't serve, because you don't feel any obligation, any responsibility. So serving helps you to stay connected to the church. Why do we have to go to church today? Well, we're greeters. We should probably be there. Do you think we could FaceTime them? No. Here's another reason why you should serve. Very practical. Serving encourages other servants. When I see you serve, I'm encouraged to serve. Hopefully when you see me serve, you're encouraged to serve. If we all didn't serve, we'd all be really discouraged. Or if we're the only person serving, it's pretty discouraging. So when you see other people serving, guess what? It's encouraging to them. If you want to see a study in the Bible on encouragement when it comes to serving, read the passage that talks about the rebuilding of the walls under Nehemiah and how each family was next to each part of the wall working with each other. And it wasn't like this family worked and then three families didn't do anything. They just let, you know, the holes in the wall stay. They all worked together and encouraged them to keep going. Last reason why we should serve, at least for this morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 12 with me, please. John chapter 12. We serve because it's biblical. There's rich theology in serving. God expects it to, and it's going to bring reward. It encourages lots of things. But John chapter 12, a very interesting verse that I want you to see. These are the words of Jesus talking to his disciples in the context of the fact that he's not going to be around forever. He's going to be leaving. He's going to be crucified. He's going to rise again. He's going to go back to the Father. They're going to be left to do the work of ministry. And look at this verse in John 12 and verse 26. Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. And you could say, whoever follows me must serve me. And where I am, my servant also will be. But then look at this last part. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's sobering, which leads me to the final, at least the reason I'm going to give this morning why we should serve. Here it is. Not serving is a serious spiritual issue. I hesitated whether I wanted to be so bold with that statement, but then I read this verse. I'm like, no, no. Not serving is a serious spiritual issue. Not serving is ultimately not a time issue. It is not a time issue. It is not a talent issue. It is a heart issue. That's between you and God. But Jesus said, my Father, our Father in heaven, will honor those who serve him. Which means if we choose not to serve, there's some difficulty there. So it's a serious issue. So we have some theology of serving. As we move on, and again, I'm not going to spend as much time in these next few sections. I know because some of you look ahead and go, oh, no. Oh, no. You'll be fine. Just like last week there were levels of connecting, there are levels of serving. Let me give them to you quickly. The first one is the immersed servant. That's the person or people who are serving in a lot of things, and they need help to bear the load. That's an immersed servant. That means that person is involved in a lot of things, maybe even too many things, because in a church, you can overserve and you can underserve and everything in between. So this person is immersed and maybe they're doing way too many things. They're the kind of person you almost have to say, no, we're not going to let you serve in any more things. Now, I would love to tell you that's just we have a high percentage of that, but we don't. Here's the second level of serving, the occasional servant. This is the person who could do more. I'm just throwing this out as an illustration. I have nobody in my mind. We do like the Valentine cookie drop where we bring cookies to the businesses around Valentine's Day. They really love that. It's awesome. If your service to the church is three dozen cookies one time a year, I would probably call you an occasional servant. Could you do more? Yes, and I don't mean more cookies. Fair enough? Because if everyone just chose one thing a year, church wouldn't happen the way we think it should happen. So just thinking about it, maybe you're an occasional servant. Now the last one, the word I'm going to use is a strange word because I got it from a message that I listened to while I was in Colorado. And he may have not used this phrase, but I'm going to use it. I thought it brought to my mind. The third kind of servant is the severed servant. Okay, you with me? The severed servant. Here's the picture in my mind, and this guy that was giving the message explained it this way, and I thought it was really good. We're part of the body of Christ. Yes, if we're a follower of Christ, we're part of the body of Christ. And it goes in that passage to talk about the big toe can't say to the hand, you're not important. But he went on to say, listen, that a severed body part is of no use to the body. So if you say, I am not serving, you're basically saying, I am cutting myself off from the body of Christ. I will be a severed servant. Ultimately, you're saying, I will be of no benefit to the body of Christ. I'm just saying, I don't want to be a severed servant. Now, good news is, can God miraculously reattach those parts? He sure can. He sure can. You're just like, God, I've severed myself from the body of Christ as far as serving goes. Can you attach me? Oh, yes. I'm very good at that. So he can do that. So you need to think about, I need to think about our level of serving. Because I don't know how this works, this phenomenon, but I've been told that if someone has an amputation or something, that there is that sense that that part is still there and the body kind of misses that part. Listen, really lovingly saying to you, if you're part of this church and you don't serve, the body misses you. The body misses what you can bring to benefit each other. So serving has theology, it has levels, but there are some cautions when it comes to serving. I'm going to give you some cautions to think about because I really want you to be analyzing this, think about this. No matter where you are, no matter what level you're at, I want you to think about these cautions because these cautions apply to no matter what level you're on, and especially if you're in the level of not serving at all, I want you to really kind of think about stepping up your involvement. First of all, be mindful of your motives and expectations. That's caution number one. Who are you serving for? Also, be careful about this. I've heard this in ministry too many times. It really bothers me. Some people will only serve if it's their way to serve. Like, I will serve, but you're going to have to change the program because this is the only way I do it. I will be a greeter if you let me do it this way, and this is the only way I will do it. Well, we can't have you in the middle of the parking lot. We'd prefer you at the door. No, I want to be in the middle of the parking lot. That's the only way I'll be a greeter. Okay, next up, somebody else. But I actually have encountered people who said, I'm not going to serve unless you let me serve my way. Okay. Also, checking our motives and expectations. Are we always going to see results right away? No. Don't let that discourage you. Here's a second caution. Very practical. Serving should not take the place of attending church. Here's what I'm saying. Here we go. If you're in the nursery first service, guess what? I should see you in the second service. Amen. Serving should not take the place of attending. Because let's say you're on a rotation where you're serving in some ministry for four straight weeks. That means you're not going to come and enjoy a worship service for a month. We offer two. Well, Pastor Jay, that's like 2.5 hours in church. Wow. Might even get you ready for heaven. We're talking about being intentional. Now, I'm looking around and some of you are not giving me good looks back. I don't care. Serve and attend. Attend, then serve. It works. Here's another one. Serving in a parachurch ministry is not a substitute for church involvement. I love that we have people involved and doing things. I know we have people involved in parachurch ministries and, you know, Scarlet Thread. We have people involved in the jail ministry. I love that. Keep doing it. Involve helping out maybe with Christian schools. All those things are wonderful. But listen, that's not to replace church involvement. If I say to you, why don't you serve in our church? You're like, because I serve out here, I serve out here, I serve right here. It's not going to fly with God because Jesus died for the church. And I'm okay with parachurch organizations. But I'm telling you, the ones that are worth their salt, if you went to their leaders, the people that run those organizations, and say to them, should I not serve in my church and just serve you? They would say, you need to do both. You don't displace the church. Just like a good TV pastor or a radio pastor would say, don't send all your money to me. Support your local church. And then if you want to go above and beyond that, you can do that. So what I'm saying is, if you want to go above and beyond serving in the church, then go for it, but don't serve just in a parachurch organization and not the church. Okay, next one. Whatever season of life you find yourself in, serve. Whatever season of life you find yourself in, serve. I'm going to read a passage for you. It's not going to be on the screen. I love this passage. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says. He says, now with David. David from the Old Testament had served God's purpose in his own generation. So David, he's basically saying, Paul's saying, David served God for a really long time. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he retired. No, it says he fell asleep. And that is a kind of a wording for he died and was buried with his ancestors. So David served right to the end. So how long should you serve? Till your pulse isn't working anymore. Different season of life, different kind of service, but right to the end. If you're in school, should you serve? Yes. If you're in college, really busy with college, should you find a church and serve? The answer to all these are yes. In case you need help with the test. If you're single, should you serve? If you have kids at home, should you serve? If you have an empty nest, should you serve? If you're a parent or a grandparent, should you serve? If you're taking care of parents, should you serve? If you're an oldster, should you serve? If you're alive, should you serve? Absolutely. Coming up soon, you're going to be hearing about Operation Christmas Child. The shoeboxes, do you understand the shoebox thing? We have three ladies that are heading up the shoebox ministry. They are a combined age of 225 years old. What are we thinking? 225 years old! Shoeboxes! They don't walk like that. You know why they're doing that? Because they figured out they still have a pulse and they want to serve in every season of life. I'm not going to tell you who they are and the numbers. I can tell you who they are, but I'm not going to tell you the numbers. Last caution. Last caution when it comes to serving. Serving has and always will require some investment of time and effort. I'm not going to apologize for that. God doesn't apologize for that. If you want to be involved in serving in the work of the ministry, is it going to take some of your time? Yes. I cannot offer you any type of service opportunity that gives no time. I'm sorry. Or effort. Even texting somebody is going to take a little bit of your thumbs or whatever things you use. I do one finger and one and a half. I don't. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to apologize for that. Please be cautioned about this. If you jump into serving, it will take some time and some effort. So let's say you've decided that theologically serving is important and that God wants you to serve and that you maybe need to move from one level to the next and you're thinking about the caution. Let's say you want to serve now or you're currently serving. Either one, whether you want to serve a little bit more or you're currently serving, how should we serve? Let me give you some quick words about how we should serve, because how we serve is really important, not just if we serve, but how we serve. Number one, we should be serving consistently. Consistently. That same message that I listened to while I was in Colorado, the gentleman made a couple comments that I've turned into questions that, wow, I'm going to fly him down to ask these questions to people because I don't know if they'll want me to ask them, but they were pretty good. He said to the congregation that he was preaching to, if you come to him and say, I need to step away from serving for a while, he said, that's great, but I'm going to ask you two questions when you do that. Number one, where will you serve next? And when can we expect you back? Wow. Where will you serve next? And when will you be back? He said, I'm not going to tell you. It's okay that you're stepping away. Take all the time you need. Where will you serve next? And when will you be back? Because I've seen way too many people step away, step away, step away, step away, step away, step away. And it was for a short period of time, but now it's become 2, 3, 4, 5 years. When will you be back? We're here. Serve consistently. Serve creatively. We should be willing to learn new ways to serve. Well, I only have one way I can serve, and the church doesn't currently operate with this ministry, so I guess I'm out. That's not creativity. Be willing to creatively serve. Maybe you're younger and you want to bring down the median age of the shoebox people. We'd love to have you do that. Okay, and maybe you're like, creatively, I don't know if what I can do with this shoebox thing. Well, you can learn. Be creative. Here's another one. Serve responsibly. I've mentioned this before, but it's from a pastor's heart. Here it is. If you're going to serve, be on time. If you're going to serve, be prepared. And if you're going to serve, please show up. Fair enough. I've signed up to serve. I'm going to be on time, and I'm going to be prepared. I know I'm supposed to teach this class. I have no idea. I never looked at the lesson at all. Okay. Serve proactively as well. Proactively. Don't wait to be asked. Ask for information. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Ask for some information. Don't wait to be asked. See a need, fill a need. See a need, fill a need. Serve wholeheartedly. Thanks, Deb, for giving part of my message in your testimony. The Bible says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. That's a play on words because Paul knows we're not serving people. Ultimately, we're serving God. Serve wholeheartedly. In the Greek, the best synonym for the word wholeheartedly in the Greek is this word, commitment. Serve with commitment. And then lastly, I had to give you something positive and way to serve. According to Psalm 100, verse 2, we should serve the Lord with gladness. Yes! Today's my nursery day! Listen, that's why I went into ministry, so I didn't have to serve in the nursery, but I'm just saying, that's a sign. So, but some, like, today, honey, get up, we got to get to church on time. Why? We get to be greeters today. Not, let's go, we got to be greeters. Listen, if you come with that attitude, we might need to have a little replacement at that moment. Serve with gladness. So we have all these things, why we should serve, how we should serve, the levels of serving, getting involved. So it leads us to this question, where am I needed? Where am I needed to serve? Thank you for asking. In your bulletin, there's an insert. There's a number of different ways that you can serve. I want you to read that over. You won't probably have time to do that right now, and you probably shouldn't do that right now. But you can take this home with you, or if you have time after the service or towards the end here, you can look that over. If you would like to know more information about serving in one of these areas, you can fill it out, put it in the basket in the foyer, or you can bring it next week because I don't want you to take too much. I shouldn't have said that right now. Don't even look at it. Just kidding. So, but there's a couple things that are pretty immediate as far as needs. We could use some more people to be slide technicians. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? To do that, it is. We need some people that could rotate and be soundboard technicians, and you would be trained. If you've always wanted the opportunity to mute the pastor, that's the job for you. I mean, you only do it once if you do that, but you can have that opportunity. And listen, seriously, we could use some help there. We have two guys that have been rotating for several years, and it's a lot. And they will train you. And you can do this and be a part of that, so you can fill that out. We also have need for a Kids Zone teacher during our second hour. And the good news is, since you come to this service and you're going to attend one and serve one, you could be the Kids Zone teacher in the second hour. Isn't that great how that works out? That's how to do God's will in one sentence. So really, fill that out and be a part of that. That would be great. Because does it really matter if we serve? Does it really matter if I serve? It does, because if enough of you decide not to serve, then the people that are serving might burn out. And if we take the other person mentality, it just isn't going to work. I'll let the other person do it. Someone else will do it. Now what will happen is the church will not function the way it's supposed to. We're going to celebrate communion, but before we enter into that, I want to just leave you with one question on purpose. It's meant to be a challenging question. Ask yourself, if people served to the extent that you do, would the church be able to function? If people serve to the extent that you do, would the church be able to function? And only you can answer that question.